I'm Mrs. Giordano, and I am a fifth grade teacher at Ryerson Elementary School, and today I would like to share Chapter 5 of Lemonade Crime. Chapter 5. Accused. Accused. Noun. A person who has been charged for a crime or who is on trial for a crime. Jesse and Megan were walking to school, and they were late. Jesse had called Megan at 7 o'clock that morning, and again at 7:30, and then at 7:55, and 8:10, but Megan had still been late leaving her house. I was late because you kept calling me, she grumbled on the way out the door. 10 whole minutes late. So now they were half running, half walking, trying to get to school before the bell rang. Normally, Jesse wouldn't have minded missing the before school time on the playground. But today, she had things to do. On the playground, before school, with no grown-ups around. Come on, come on, she said to Megan. Megan's legs were longer than Jesse's, but Megan was slow because her mail bag kept banging into her knees. Why do we need to get there so early? Asked Megan. She was loping along, about 10 feet behind Jesse. You'll see when we get there. Keep running, keep running. Better hurry, girls, said Darlene when they got to the crosswalk. I heard the first bell. Jesse and Megan speed walked across the street. Running wasn't allowed. Oh, no, said Jesse when they rounded the corner and caught sight of the playground. They're already lining up. Come on. By the time Jesse and Megan ran onto the blacktop, the entire fourth grade was lined up, waiting for the signal to file into school. The girls should have gone to the end of the line, but Jesse marched right up to the middle, where Scott Spencer was trying to knock Paul's baseball cap off his head. Evan was standing farther up, bouncing the class basketball. He was equipment manager this week, which meant he was responsible for bringing in all the playground stuff. Balls, jump ropes, frisbees. Hey, said Scott, noticing Jesse. The end of the line is back there. So, said Jesse, rummaging in her backpack. So no cutting, said Scott. Isn't that the rule? Even Jesse could tell he was making fun of her. I'm not cutting, said Jesse, pulling a piece of paper from her backpack and holding it out in front of her. I'm serving you with a warrant for your arrest. A few of the boys in front of Scott turned around, and some of the girls at the end of the line moved up so they could see, too. You're what? Asked Scott. Here, take it, said Jesse, shoving the piece of paper closer to him. Scott reached out and grabbed it like he was going to rip it to shreds. That's it, shouted Jesse. You touched it. That means you've been served. Now you have to appear in court. Jesse was pretty sure she knew what she was doing. She had been reading a booklet called Trial by Jury, The American Legal System in a Nutshell. It was one of the public service booklets that her mom wrote as part of her business as a public relations consultant. Scott immediately dropped the paper on the ground like it was on fire. You can't do that. Oh, yes, I can, said Jesse. If you touched it, that means you've been served. You can't get out of it now. Get out of what? What are you even talking about? By now, everyone in the line had turned to watch. Evan had stopped dribbling the basketball, and he didn't leave a spot in line. Jesse picked up their arrest warrant from the ground and read it out loud. She had written it using the calligraphy pen her grandmother had given her for her last birthday. Warrant for the arrest of Scott Spencer. Scott Spencer, you are hereby charged with the crime of stealing $208 from the pocket of Evan Tresky Schwartz on September 5th of this year. On Friday, you are to appear in court to plead your case. There, a jury of your peers will decide if you are guilty or not. If you are found guilty, your punishment... She got as far as that when Scott interrupted. You've got to be kidding me, he said, crossing his arms and laughing. You're joking, right? Jesse shook her head. Not a single person in the fourth grade line was talking. Everyone was watching Jesse and Scott. She continued reading. If you are found guilty... Are you saying, said Scott, his eyes narrowing and a scowl appearing on his face, that I stole money? Jesse took a deep breath. She knew it was a big deal to accuse someone like that. Yes, I am, she said. There were murmurs among the fourth graders. What about you? Asked Scott, turning toward Evan and taking a few steps forward. He reached out to poke Evan in the chest, but Evan swatted his hand away before it ever touched him. Are you saying I stole your money? Jesse looked at Evan. He dribbled the basketball twice, then held it in his hand, staring at it. Suddenly, Jesse realized that she should have talked to Evan before doing any of this. He was the one who'd been the victim of the crime. He was the one who would still have to play with Scott every day at recess. He was the one who would have to testify against him in a court of law. But it was too late now. Everyone was watching them. Everyone was waiting to see what would happen next. Evan dribbled the ball. 1, 2, 3. Jesse knew that he was thinking. Evan thought with his whole body, not just his brain. That's what I'm saying, he said quietly. I'm saying you stole the money from me. The line of fourth graders had twisted into the shape of a large, sloppy C, with both ends watching what was happening in the middle. Now that Evan had accused Scott of stealing, the line started to fall apart entirely as kids pulled in closer to hear what Scott would say next. But it was Jesse who spoke first. If you are found guilty, your punishment will be that you have to give your new Xbox 2020 to Evan Tresky. No way, said Scott, but he could barely be heard over the noise that the fourth graders were making. Everyone had an opinion about the fairness of the punishment. Hey, said Ryan, what happens if he's found not guilty? Jesse shook her head. He won't be. I will too, you twerp, said Scott. And when I am, here's what's going to happen. Both of you, he pointed to Jesse and Evan, are going to stand up in morning meeting and tell everyone, including Mrs. Overton, that you told lies about me and that I didn't take anything from anyone. And then you're going to apologize to me in front of everyone. 4-0, Mrs. Overton was standing in the doorway, a look of dismay on her face. What kind of line is this? The kids scrambled back to their places, and those at the front started their morning march into the classroom. But Evan, Jesse, and Scott still faced each other. Is it a deal? Asked Scott. Deal, said Evan, and turned his back on them to head inside. I'll even put it in writing, said Jesse. She waved the arrest warrant in front of Scott. Then she picked up her backpack and hurried to the end of the line, smiling. Soon, justice would be served. Agreement of Atonement following the trial of Scott Spencer. If Scott Spencer is found guilty in a court of law of the crime of stealing $208 from the pocket of Evan Tresky Shorts on September the 5th of this year, he will give his Xbox 2020 to Evan Tresky to keep forever. If Scott Spencer is found not guilty in a court of law of the crime of stealing $208 from the pocket of Evan Tresky Shorts on September 5th of this year, Evan and Jesse Tresky will stand up in morning meeting on Monday and will tell the entire class that Scott Spencer did not steal $208 from the pocket of Evan Tresky Shorts on September 5th of this year, and they will apologize to him for telling lies. Evan Tresky, Jesse Tresky, Scott Spencer.